Good evening. If anybody wants some water, there is water over there, or there is tea. I think I got to take out the tea, but I think there should be some tea, hot water and tea in the other room, if you'd like to help yourselves. Good evening. Thanks for coming. It is a great privilege. We just, on Shabbos, we already welcomed the month of Iyar by having Shabbos Mevorechim. We blessed the new month. We brought down already the energy of the new month. And Iyar is the month of healing. Ani Hashem Rofecha. So that is, we're over here at Mayan, we're proud and happy to tap into that great energy of healing as it is connected to our Jewish tradition and our Jewish sources. The Torah has all the wisdoms included in it, and in the highest, highest, highest form as it originates from its quintessential source, Hashem himself, the healer of all healing. So it is a great privilege and honor to have with us Rabbi Frischman, who has been a healer in this community for a long time. I myself have benefited from him at one time when I needed it, and that was very thankful to him for his assistance at that time. And I'm excited and happy to be here tonight and welcome you all. And hopefully we will enter a time when the world will be completely, eternally healed, and we will not need to go to doctors for healing, and we will only think about preventive or better health instead of having to work with illness. Ezras Hashem, as we know, it's going to be in Mashiach's times. So may we merit that should happen soon. Here we have Rabbi Dr. Yehuda Frischman.
Thank you very much, Rabbi Wolf. Welcome to my office. It's interesting, as we are on the cusp before the month of Iyar, we need to look a little bit at the events that have just taken place. About a week and a half or so ago, we crossed the Yam Suf. 3 days after we left the Mitzrayim behind, we really were free, we came to a place called Mara. Mara was a place of bitter water. And fascinating interlude takes place there. We'll talk about it in a few minutes. But at the very, very end of the whole story of Mara, of the bitter water, we find a very interesting pasuk. We find one of the sources of Jewish medicine. And the Torah tells us, and he said, if you will listen carefully to the voice of Hashem your God, and that which is straight in his eyes you will do, and you hark carefully to his mitzvahs, and you keep all of his statutes, every illness that I placed upon the Egyptians in Egypt, I will not place upon you. Why? Because I am Hashem, your doctor. So Hashem is our doctor. And it's interesting that the medicine that Hashem practices, and the medicine that we're going to be talking about in this six-course series, and the medicine that I have adduced myself over the 12 years now I've been in practice, is very, very different than Western medicine. There is an interesting Balaturim. Balaturim says, is it here or is it in? Yes. It says it in Beshalach, by Mara, that you notice when it talks about Hashem's healing, it uses the term Ani Hashem Refecha. I am Hashem, your doctor. And the Baal Turim points out that Refecha is has the vowel is a soft sound, whereas two Torah portions later, when it talks about permission which is given to doctors to heal, the Torah uses a very interesting but subtle different term. It says, "Verapoi yirape," that you shall surely heal. And the Gemara says that were it not for that verse, "Verapoi yirape," I would not know that a doctor is allowed to heal. But what's the difference between Ani Hashem Refecha and Verapoi yirape? So the Baal Turim points out that Ani Hashem Refecha is with a soft sound, Refecha. And when a doctor heals, it's Verapoi yirape. There are side effects, there's pain. So halavai, as we learn what Jewish medicine is, Yemirtz Hashem will be zoiche, will merit to be able to have healings which are soft, which are without side effects, and where we truly are able to get the messages from Hashem and learn from them. So class number one, which we are now starting, we're going to cover three basic areas. First of all, we're going to speak about what really Jewish medicine is, what the source of it is. Second, we're going to talk about the consummate Jewish medicine, the segula, and we're going to talk about the month of Iyar. The month of Iyar, incidentally, that we are beginning on Tuesday night, is an acronym. Iyar is made up of four letters: Aleph, Yud, Yud, and Resh. And those letters, our sages tell us, particularly the B'nai Yisachar tells us, those letters are an acronym for Ani Hashem Refecha. I am Hashem, your doctor, as we just read in Parshas B'Shalach. So we're going to learn about that as well. I want this to be... it's a bit of a conflict on my part. I want this to be interactive, but I also have a lot of ground to cover. So we have two choices. We can either go for an hour and a half and keep the questions to a minimum and save them for the end, or I should say, do them interspersed, or I'll go straight and hold on to your questions, and afterwards I'll take them. I also want you to know that every one of the six classes, there are going to be demonstrations, ways that you can apply the healing principles of Jewish medicine to your lives. So I open it up to you, my students and my patients and my friends. Would you prefer to ask questions as we go along or wait till the end? Okay, good. Okay, good. So when I was going to, those of you who don't know me very well, I'll introduce myself, give you a little bit of background. I was in business for 22 years. I had a messenger service. And my late wife, Chana, started having seizures in 1990. And over the course of the next 10 years, we went to over 200 physicians, Western, Eastern, conventional, and alternative. And 99.9% of who we saw were basically dead ends. They didn't have any clues as to how to ameliorate her symptoms, to help her be more comfortable, nor how to stop the seizures. And as I was going, as we were going from doctor to doctor, our business was going down. We lost our house. I was neglecting my son. My son was, at the time, 6 years old. And I was working like a horse trying to take care of my wife and everything. It was just very, very difficult. One day I realized that Hashem was talking to me. And he was telling me, wake up and realize that health really is an opportunity for us to connect to Hashem, if we are wise. And I decided after 10 years to close the business down and try to become a messenger to help heal my wife. And I looked into different options. I visited medical school, Western medical schools. I visited osteopathic medical schools, naturopathic medical schools, Chinese medical schools. I attended classes in craniosacral therapy. And ultimately, I saw that the modality which would be most appropriate for me would be Chinese medicine as a therapeutic tool, and to learn craniosacral therapy, and to read and study the medicine of the Rambam. And yet it bothered me, because why wasn't there a Jewish medicine? There was Chinese medicine, there was Ayurvedic medicine, there was Greek medicine, there was Egyptian medicine, there was folk medicines in all kinds of different places, the United States, Europe. Where was the Jewish medicine? There isn't a Jewish family that doesn't have somebody who they aspire to be or to look up to who's not a Jewish doctor. Where is the Jewish medicine? So one day, as I'm going through the Rambam, and I have this Rambam here if you want. Anybody who's interested, I have source material I'll be speaking to, and one of the sources we have is the Rambam. So I encourage you to look inside with me as I share with you. And I saw this Rambam in Hilchos Deos, the laws of behavior. And the Rambam says like this. Tzarech ha'adam l'chaven es liboy v'kol masav kulam leidas Hashem boruch hi bilvad. A person needs to direct his heart and all of his deeds only to know Hashem. V'yishivtoi v'koymoi v'diburoi, and the way that he walks and talks and speaks and gets up and goes to bed should be toward this end. So that's the purpose of life. The purpose of life is to direct our hearts to know Hashem. How do we do it? So the Rambam brings it down, and the Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch brings it down, the Torah Shulchan Aruch brings it down, and the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch brings it down, that b'chol derachecha de'ehu. Know Hashem in everything you do, and he'll straighten out your paths. You got a problem? Know Hashem, and he'll help you get where you need to go. But then the Rambam says something amazing. Look at the bottom, if you have the Rambam, in Gimel. The Rambam says, "I afshar sheyavin v'yistakel b'chochma." It's impossible to know wisdom, meaning to know Hashem, the ultimate wisdom. V'shehu raiv v'choyle o echad me'avar of koyev. What a mind blower. It's impossible to know Hashem if I'm hungry, if I'm in pain, or if I'm hurting. You know, you always think that if somebody is a Baal Yisurin, that they're on a very high madrega. The Rambam says, no. You can't connect to Hashem if you're in pain. And this was the clue that I had to want to find out what Jewish medicine was. Really investigate it. And that's what we're going to be learning about. So illness, therefore, needs to be viewed as an imbalance in the body and the soul. Basically, their synergistic relationships are disrupted. It's like the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh used to say. Also, the Magid was famous for saying the same thing. That if a person has a small hole in their body, they have a big hole in their neshama. Think about it. There is no illness that doesn't have some kind of spiritual or psychological or mental or emotional component. So the Jewish medicine, therefore, treats physical symptoms as just one aspect of the whole person, considering the emotions, the mind, the spirit as well. And this isn't just the Rambam's Chiddush or mine. We find in the Gemara and Brachos that they teach that if someone gets a headache, if someone's sick, what should he do? Huh? He should learn Torah. And if it doesn't work? No. He should think about the day of his death. But ultimately, it also says that he should first examine his deeds to return to Hashem. So Jewish medicine encourages the physician and patient to act as a team, to look for clues together, to determine the pathogenesis, meaning the path that the patient's illness has followed, as a first step to restoring health and balance. In other words, let's retrace the steps. There was a time before a person was sick. Let's figure out why that is. So how do we do it? We use tools. Just like if somebody is a craftsman, he'll use a saw, he'll use a hammer, he'll use a screwdriver, he'll use a plane, he'll use a computer. So we use clinical tools also. We use Chinese medicine. Chinese medicine meaning medicinal formulas that are made up of substances from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. We don't use anything that's poison, unless that particular poison came from Hashem. I'll talk about that not tonight, but at a later shiur. We use acupuncture because we have to address, as we're going to talk about later on, we have to address the body bioelectrically, bioenergetically, biomechanically. If one has a shoulder which is higher than the other one, they're not going to feel very good. Biochemically, we want to figure out what's going on. And we're going to learn next week about an amazing tool that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us when we talk about the pulses. There's a famous pasuk in Shir HaShirim that we just read for Pesach, Kol Doidi Doifik, which means the voice of my beloved knocks. Well, it can also be translated as the voice of my beloved is in the pulse. And there are stories that we'll talk about next week where the tzaddikim would feel the pulse, stories of Baal Shem Tov, the Vilna Gaon, they'd feel the pulse and they'd be able to know what was wrong with the person, or they'd be able to know what averas they've done. We're not going to learn that, but we're going to learn about that. And we're going to learn some very, very practical tools on how to feel our pulses and how to learn from the pulses. So what are some other tools we use? We use allergy desensitization. We're going to talk about allergies and we talk about ER tonight. Because ER is the most amazing thing. This is the springtime. This is the time when we should be healthiest. This is the month that's for healing, right? And yet, what is it also the month for? This is the month for allergies and hay fever. Who doesn't have hay fever? Well, Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't want us to have hay fever. Hashem did not want us to use Allegra or whatever other stuff you take. Hashem wanted us to be healthy and well, and we're going to figure out why that happens and what we can do about it. So traditional Jewish medicine The medicine from the Torah and from the Chazal is a roadmap based on 10 principles that guide us to promoting health, balancing our lives, helping us to become whole, and enabling us to receive what we deserve, this bounty that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to have. That is what Jewish medicine is all about. In Meretz Hashem, I hope, I want you to write down questions you have, because I'm going very, very slowly, but I could go on for hours about each one of the things we're going to speak about. But I want to answer your questions, so please write them down. So when we talk about medicine from the Torah, we again look to the Torah for an interesting term that we're going to be talking about now, and that's the segula. By Matan Torah, which we're preparing for now, it says, it's in Shmois, Perek Yutes, Pasuk He, 19:5, Ve'atoim Shamoi Tishma B'koili, Pishmu B'koili. And now, if you listen carefully to my voice, Ve'shamartem Es Brisi, and you keep my covenant, Ve'yisem Li Segula Mikola Amim, you will become a segula from all the nations, because I own everything. All the earth belongs to me. A segula, which literally means a treasure, is a spiritual cure which defies logic and which has been handed down through oral tradition from generation to generation, and which clearly works. We're going to quote in a few minutes from a couple of sefarim that quotes some segulas. And one gives us the source, and one gives us an amazing segula, which I almost had my license pulled because I did. I'll tell you about it. So we see from this verse that Hashem is telling us, you, B'nai Yisroel, are the segula. You have the potential to heal the world. Not because of any physical properties you have, any intelligence, or any spirituality, or any charisma that you have, but because you're mine. If you act like my people, I'm going to give you tremendous power to be Mekadesh, my name in the world, to give me the opportunity to have people look at me, look at God, and look at his people, and say what a wonderful people we are. Rav Sholem Arush, I happen to translate a book that he wrote called The Garden of Healing, Hashem Refecho. And in it, Rav Arush, I suggest, by the way, that if you can get the book, I specifically recommend looking at the appendices, because I wrote them and Rav Arush asked me to write them to speak about the medicine that I practice. But Rav Arush explains this concept in a most brilliant way. Imagine if you could that there's a king, and the king has a bunch of servants, a bunch of subjects. And one of them is depressed, and another one is a hunchback, and another one smells bad, and another one is retarded. What kind of king is that? How does this reflect in the king that he has subjects that are disabled? Hashem is saying that if you follow my way, if you follow the Torah, you'll not only be able to heal the rest of the world, but people will look at you. You'll be strong and healthy, and you'll be a reflection of me. So that's the idea of what it means that Hashem makes us his segula. Let's turn now to the Rabbeinu Bechaya. Let's see if I can find it. Here. So if you look on the sheet that says in the top, B'nai Yisachar, it's not B'nai Yisachar. It looks like this. It's a wide page. And you look at the bottom. We talked about Mara before. So here, and anything you don't have is right there. It's all there. So in the Rabbeinu Bachaya, it talks about what happened at Mara. This interlude that we spoke about a minute when we started out. And the Rabbeinu Bachaya says like this. Yesh shepershu sham sam lechok mishpat. What does it mean that after we Moshe was told to take this bitter tree or bitter wood, throw it into this bitter water, and it would be sweet. So what does he say here? Amazing thing. He says, "Shelimdu Kodesh Baruch Hu Chochmas Atzmachim VaKoyches Shebahem B'Sgulaseihem Uvetivam Lefi Sheyesh Bohem Esavim Mechayim Amesim." Hashem taught Moshe all the properties of all the plants in the world. He taught him the properties that they have physically, that there are plants that can heal virtually any illness, and there are plants that can heal anything but completely contrary to logic. That's what we call the segulitic properties. So that's what it says here, that Sham Samlai, the very place for him, Choyke Mishpat, he taught him the chukim, the qualities of the plants which were contrary to logic, but which Hashem gave to him. And he also taught him the physical properties of them. Because some plants bring life to somebody who's dead, apparently, and some plants kill, as we well know. Some sweeten that which is bitter, and some make bitter that which is sweet. Again, when you have plants, when you have anything in the world, it has two qualities to it. We don't know what those properties are or those qualities are, but Hashem taught Moshe, and that's our tradition. That's what we know. That plants have amazing, amazing properties. Then let's go on to the next paragraph. And the Rabbeinu Chaya brings in an amazing, amazing point. He says, even though you can read into all of these plants, you can study them, you could even farhair your students on it, give an oral exam, as the Kodesh Baruch Hu did to Moshe. That's why it says, V'sam Nisehu, that Hashem tested Moshe. He tested him. He wanted to make sure he knew him. And he actually had Moshe try all the different plants. Nevertheless, look at the bottom if you can follow it. He says, don't forget. Ein lecha mizuza mitzvah satayra. Don't rely on plants to heal. Ki ani Hashem roifecho. V'loy tzmachim. I'm the one who's your doctor will heal you. And not plants. Umitamze. And we'll talk about this in a later time, but there was a marvelous book that had all the secrets of healing into it, and Chizkiyahu HaMelech hid it. It's called the Sefer Refuos. Some people say it came from Shlomo HaMelech, some people say that it came from Malach, some people say it came from Adon Rishon or from Shem ben Noach. It doesn't really matter, but Chizkiyahu HaMelech hid it, and the Chachamim praised him for it. Why? Because through this sefer, Hayobrius Misrapim, mitzvahs. People would get well, and they would forget about the Torah. But the truth is, as the Ramban tells us, if you look on this side, I'll just summarize it. Look on the third column, the Rabbeinu Chaya brings down the Ramban who says that what happened in Mara was a lesson in healing. Why? What was the first of the plagues in Egypt? Anybody know? Don't all volunteer. Come on, the first of the 10 plagues. Dumb, blood. What happened to the Nile? The Nile was known for the sweetest, most delicious water in the world. What did Hashem do? Hashem told Moshe, or told Aaron and Moshe in the various plagues, to hit the Nile, and it became foul, undrinkable. And Hashem doesn't leave the world in a state of imperfection. Hashem therefore told Moshe, I want you to take this bitter and make it sweet again to heal that which was done. To understand that everything comes from Hashem in terms of healing. So now I'm going to tell you a story. First, I want you to look at the page that says Segulas Yisrael. There's a sefer which is quoted by the Sefer Time in Hagim, which is called Segulas Yisrael. It's a thick book of about 400 pages. And in Segulas Yisrael, and in Time in Har, in Segulas Yisrael, it brings down all kinds of segulas to heal all kinds of problems. And one of the things it says there, if you look at the beginning of the second paragraph, page looks like this. You have it? Here, I'll translate anyway. And it says, Choli Yerakoin. So to heal hepatitis. Hepatitis until it's done. Okay. And then the dove will die. Again, he says, Zabuduka Minusa. It's tried and tested. I've done it many times on patients of mine that had hepatitis. I also treated a patient that had liver cancer with it, and it was very effective. But what I wanted to tell you is very interesting. When we talk about segulas, these are not for public consumption or distribution. When I was teaching at Emperor's College a few years ago, I would speak something about to my students. I had a class of about 75 students, and I spoke about Jewish medicine and cross-culturalism. And I mentioned in passing this segula. And it so happened that I happened to have a patient that I was going to be treating, and I invited any class members who wanted to observe to come and see it. And when I announced it, somebody came up to me in the class and said that they had worked with a number of hepatitis C victims who were drug users, and he would refer them over to me, and we could make a lot of money together. Next day, I get a call from the state of California acupuncture board that I was engaging in practices that were beyond my scope. I also received a call from the Department of Animal Cruelty. And instead of getting upset or angry, I realized two things. Number one, this is not for the public consumption. Number two, as I found out later, these segulas only work for Jews. So it's very important to understand that these are all gifts. These are all treasures and gifts that Hashem has given us. And the idea of making money off of them is absolutely anathema. It's absolutely inappropriate. Okay. So that is the idea of segulas beyond chicken soup. When we speak about Judaism and healing, we really have to remember all the different things we've just spoken about. The fact that the Torah itself provides us clues in healing. The fact there are very specific principles that we can apply and messages that we can hear in order to learn. And now, as we begin this coming Tuesday night, the month of Iyar, I want to share with you some thoughts about Iyar and healing that we alluded to before. Now, the whole essence of Sfiras HaOmer involves improving ourselves, polishing ourselves, seeing Hashem in our lives, the role that He plays in our lives. And I want to share with you an amazing Bnei Yisachar, the Denoyver Rebbe, who teaches us specifically, and I have it translated into English because I felt this is very important for you to see and hear, that this month is particularly conducive to healing, especially issues related to digestion, absorption, and utilization of nutrients and detoxification. Why? Because as the Bnei Yisachar teaches us, it was during this month that the Jews stopped eating matzah and started eating the man, the manna. And it was this manna that the Bnei Yisachar tells us is called Lechem Abirim, the food of angels. And the Gemara teaches us, as you'll see in the translation, the Gemara in Yuma teaches us that Al Tikra Abirim Ela Evorim, that this man, this food, this manna from heaven, was such a perfect food that it was completely absorbed, that there was no need to eliminate anything of it because it was perfectly utilized. And this man, which began falling in this month, had the ability to heal any illnesses that we had, remarkably. And therefore, why did Hashem give us this man in the month of Iyar? To prepare us for the giving of the Torah. And not only that, says the Bnei Yisachar, not only that, but He imprinted in this month the potential for healing for all eternity. That's why the name of the month is called Iyar, Ani Hashem Reifecho. As we said before, it's very interesting, but in addition to the physical quality of healing that we get during Iyar, Iyar is also a time of renewal. The Torah tells us that Nisan is called Chag HaAviv. That's when spring begins. In springtime, it's still a little bit cold, still some raininess. Comes again Iyar, and we have this wonderful healing sun. A sun which is not going to burn us. A sun which is going to give us tremendous, tremendous amounts of vitamin D. And yet, as we spoke at the outset, it's also the month when tree pollen counts are the highest, triggering hay fever all over the world. So, as you'll see, we're going to speak about in classes 3 and 4, what causes inflammation, allergy, reactivity, what we can do about it, as well as we learned a minute ago, as the Bnei Yisachar tells us, the role that digestion has in our healing. So let's look at these two aspects. We have inflammation on the one hand, and we have indigestion on the other hand. So to understand how these two fit together and how they can be used to solve this hay fever problem that seems to be such a conundrum, you go round and round, you can't stop it. You think you have to take all kinds of medicines to stop yourself. But really what you're doing when you're taking these medicines is, any electricians in the room, anybody married to an electrician? Okay. Well, my daughter is married to an electrician. And she'll tell you that if you plug in too many things, you're going to blow a circuit. You're going to blow a circuit breaker. Or you're going to blow a fuse. So what do you do? if you try to trick the system by putting in a higher fuse, what'll happen? You'll cause a fire. That's exactly what happens when we use these antihistamines. We are blocking Hashem's giving us the opportunity to heal ourselves. How? That's what we're going to talk about now. But before we do that, I want to give you a little sneak preview on next week. We're going to speak about the principles of Jewish medicine. And you should have a handout which is entitled The Principles of Jewish Medicine. There are 10 principles of Jewish medicine that I've adduced. And when I was in medical school, as I say, it really bothered me that there wasn't a Jewish medicine per se. And as I was going through the Rambam, going through the Chazal, going through the Torah, I found that there were that these principles really were the basis of how I needed to think, and how. And that voice is saying, return, my wayward children. Come back to me. That voice is talking to all of us. And it's saying, pay attention, because I'm talking to you. And if you don't listen to me, I'll tap you on the shoulder, and I'll cause you to have something happen to you. And if you still don't pay attention, I'll tap you on the shoulder harder. And if you still don't pay attention, then something horrible may happen. Because Hashem is saying, wake up and listen to me. I want you, my son and daughter. I want you to listen to me. I want you to get close to me. I want you to feel my sweetness. But if you don't pay attention, if you go out, if you go on your own, if you walk directly into a stone wall, who do you have to blame? So pay attention. So the first principle is to help the patient to pay attention to the signs that are being given to him or her. And we'll talk about that as it applies to hay fever and ER in a minute. The second principle, again, is very, very, very pertinent to what we're speaking about. And that principle is Sur Meira Va'aseh Tov. Turn away from evil and do good. If I remember growing up in the 50s that they used to advertise, it was very cool to smoke. And when the first movement to stop smoking became popular, they would show a picture of someone who'd had a laryngectomy, and in the hole, instead of the voice box, he put a cigarette there. So if one is involved in patterns of inflammation, whatever they are, they could be emotional patterns of inflammation, they can be physical patterns of inflammation, they can even be spiritual patterns of inflammation. Until you stop those patterns, I think in psychology they call it obsessive-compulsive disorder. Well, guess what? We all have this obsessive-compulsive tendency. Everything runs in cycles. We can't take ourselves so seriously. And we need to look inside of ourselves and say, what am I doing? Why do I keep doing what I'm doing? Wake up! Wake up. Pay attention. Stop doing those things that are harming you. If you're constantly coughing, maybe it's because your diet includes something that's causing you to have phlegm. We'll talk about that. It could be all kinds of different reasons. But not only that, we not only want to stop the patterns where we're harming ourselves, we want to do good. We want to engage in new strategies and new therapies. But first we have to stop the bad ones. That's why the Pasuk says, Sur Meira first, and then Aseh Tov. I'm not going to talk about the rest of the principles, though I will read them over with you. I want you to study them if you can, and that's your homework for next week. Because we're going to talk about them in depth, and we'll talk about pulses as well. So the third principle is that healing must take place on four levels: emotionally, mentally, spiritually, and physically. If you think that the machala, that cancer, is purely a physical manifestation, you're either brainwashed or you're ignorant. I'm sorry to say. Same with every illness. Every illness is a message from Hashem. And we need to pay attention. We need to learn what the message is. And the only thing we're lacking, well, I'm not going to go into details now, because I get very passionate about that. The fourth principle is balance. Shvila Zohav. We want to make sure that we put our bodies in balance, physically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. We want to make sure that every part of ourselves is in balance. The fifth principle is he's batlus and he's kashrus. A physician can never look at himself as a healer. There's no room for ego, but Hashem is the healer, and our job is to meld together with our patients and to meld with Hashem. Number six, along with that, Hashem always makes the refuah before the makkah. He always heals. He always gives us the potential of healing before an illness is brought. We can never give up, because there's always a potential for healing. Just ask Chizkiyahu HaMelech, who was told by the Navi that he was going to die, and he did tshuva and he lived. He was a goner. That's the same Chizkiyahu, by the way, who hid the Sefer HaRefuahs. The seventh principle is Shabbos. Now, wait a second. We all know, famous Gemara, that if a non-Jew keeps Shabbos, he's in forfeit of his life. He's guilty of the death penalty. How could it be? And yet this is not just for Jews, this is for non-Jews as well. Not to keep Shabbos necessarily, but to wake up and to realize that there's a tremendous healing potential when we become disconnected from technology. Most of us here are in our 30s or 40s. Some of us are in our 50s, 50s, or 70s. But those of you who are perhaps under 20 don't remember a time when people didn't have cell phones all the time. And I remember in the mid-90s, when they started to first appear, the idea of giving a cell phone to my kid, my dear son, was just out of the question. And all of the wonderful comforts that we would get from technology, I always thought would give us a chance, just like the Nachash was supposed to have in Gan Eden, and he was supposed to serve on him. The Nachash is technology, my dear friends, and that we are beholden to this technology. We can't engage in a conversation without looking at our cell phones, can we? I wish we could. So that's what Shabbos is about. Shabbos forces us to let go of technology. 25 hours. Number eight is another not very popular principle, but an important one nonetheless. We alluded to it earlier. That's that pain is a gift. Very, very not politically correct. We'll talk about that. Number nine is honesty. In order to get well, you got to fess up. You got to admit to Hashem. You got to admit to the doctor. You got to admit to yourself that everything's not okay. I'm coming because I don't feel good. I'm coming because something's out of balance. And I'll try to explore with my doctor and with Hashem and with myself. They say that Rabbi Nachman, there's a story about Rabbi Nachman that I'll just tell you very briefly, that there was this chesed who was looking for what he would do. And the Breslovers in his day were known as the Vidunikim. They were the confessors. So this chassid comes to Breslov, and Rabbi Nachman sees him, and he clues into who he is right away, and tells everybody to leave the Beis Medrash. He starts walking out. He says, "No, not you." And it was the chassid alone, Rabbi Nachman. And he starts crying, and he just starts opening up, because you can't get well unless you can be honest. Honest with yourself, with your doctor, and with Hashem. And you know what the Rambam says, the Chachamim are? The Rambam says in Hilchos Deos, Perek Beis, that the Chachamim are the Roifei Nefesh. They're the doctors of the soul. So we hope that we have within our Chachamim the power to see things clearly and perhaps not always in a politically correct manner. And the 10th principle is tshuva. Tshuva, kibishutai, according to this simple explanation, but also tshuva in a very different way, that we wanted to retrace our steps back to when we weren't sick, before we made mistakes. And going back, we can change our lives. We can reenact the life script that's played out for ourselves. So those are the principles. We now go back to the question that I started to ask before. How has Hashem, in His wisdom, made such an incredibly beautiful and wonderful world for us, and our bodies are allergic to it? How could that be? The answer is, when we look at principle number one, we try to figure out what the message is Hashem is giving us. And when we start to explore the role that we play in listening to the message Hashem gives us, one of them is a term that Western medicine calls a histamine reaction. What do we do about it? What is it all about? Truth is, and again, if I am addressing issues that are uncomfortable or not politically correct, I encourage you to either challenge me or just leave if you don't like what I'm saying. But contrary to what the multi-billion dollar pharmaceutical industry will tell you, allergies are not just watery eyes and stuffy nose and sneezing. Allergies are an inflammatory reaction by our adaptive immune system. Now, you ever notice when on Purim, a kid takes a cigarette, what happens to him? He starts coughing, miserable coughing. It's almost like a reflex. Or you're cleaning for Pesach, and you spray oven off on the oven, and again, you start choking. Or you clear your throat. Or the gob that goes around shul with shmek tabak, and you take a snuff, you take a whiff of the snuff, and you start sneezing. These are all manifestations and reactions of our adaptive nervous system, our adaptive immune system. We have two different parts to our immune system. The innate or basic immune system, where we all know about if we went to college or high school and took biology, that our bodies recognize pathogens, bugs, and they attack them. But if there's a constant onslaught of foreign things, Hashem has placed into our body this adaptive immune system. And it responds. And if it's been weakened, it overreacts. And that overreaction is this release of histamine. It's an adaptation. That's why it's called an adaptive immune system. And just like there is the cellular memory that when our bodies are overloaded, they start to react, so too, this is what happens with pollen. We're supposed to be able to breathe in the fresh smell of flowers in the springtime. We're supposed to enjoy Hashem's beautiful world. My wife says our time is up, but I have about 5 more minutes to go. Okay. And all of these allergies and histamine reactions correlate directly to the onset of the Industrial Revolution. There was never these kind of reactions before the 1840s, when the Industrial Revolution came along. We are so exposed to chemicals, petrochemicals, toxins. And on top of that, look at our food supply. Our foods are loaded with chemicals and sugar and refined flour. These are foods that are not digested. Look at the B'nai Yisachar again. You remember what he said? The Mnei Yisachar said the majority of illnesses come from our inability to break down foods that don't fit our constitution. So comes along year, and we've just eaten Pesach food, and we've exhausted ourselves, and we've stuffed ourselves with these refined foods that can't be digested, and so our body reacts. And just like the smoking example of a little boy who smokes his first cigarette, we develop symptoms such as asthma, allergies, skin conditions, coughing, and sneezing. So now that it's ear, we know what's going on. But what are we supposed to do about it? Our noses are dripping nonstop. So we have two things to do. One of them is a demonstration that I'll be giving you after questions. And the other is concerning the foods we eat. We have a marvelous system in our bodies called the lymphatic system. David HaMelech was referring to our lymphatic system when he taught us the pasuk, Mina, that we all know if you say Hallel, Mina Meitzar Karasi Ka Anani B'merchav Ka. What does that mean? Literally it means, from the straits I call to Hashem, answer me in your great expanse, Hashem. But if you look at the pasuk more carefully and more literally, you'll see something else. From the narrow place in my body, what's the narrow place in my body? My neck. I call to you, Hashem. Where is our voice box? Here. But what else is there? The lymphatics are there. And when the lymphatics, which are loaded with backup of all kinds of stuff, are not able to clear themselves out, they get stuck. Things back up. I have hay fever. I have sneezing. I have phlegm. I need to take an antihistamine. No, I don't. Rather, if I eat in a way to clear out my lymphatics, like the Bnei Yisachar says, so that my body is clean, I'm not going to have that. So Hashem, answer me by widening and unblocking this narrowness. That's how we can learn the pasuk. Kepshutoy. Not just Hashem, answer me when I'm in trouble. Not just Hashem, answer me during the 9 days. But Hashem, answer me right now, every day. Watch me when I'm eating. Watch me when I'm sneezing. Know that I want to connect with you. And then, of course, because of the load, which has severely weakened us, because of how we eat, because of all the reactions that we had by not taking care of ourselves, our adaptive immunity is flailing around like a child who doesn't want to drown. So the approach of Jewish medicine to pollen in the ear and hay fever is the second principle of Jewish medicine, Sur Merav HaSeitov. We want to stop these patterns and behaviors that cause our bodies to become inflamed and react, and at the same time engage in healing and nourishing behaviors. The alternative most people take is antihistamines. But again, all we're doing is overloading our electrical system, and eventually will crash. You can't take antihistamines indefinitely without paying a price. And in reality, as we conclude, ER is the perfect time for us to heal. The Bnei Yisachar also quotes from the Navi, who says that ER is also known as the month of Ziv. What does Ziv mean? Radiance. This is the month where the sun's healing, not too strong, spring sun warms us with particular healing. What can we do to assist our healing? Number one, we can daven for it. We can connect. Hashem not only talks to us, but when we talk to him, he talks to us more. So daven to him that he should give you the correct path to heal. Number two, eat foods that are nourishing as opposed to foods that fill us up and accumulate in our digestive tract. Number three, Take enjoyable walks in the Iyar sun, in the Kodesh Baruch Hu's world, breathing in the sweet, healing air and fragrances of flowers, and the breathtaking sights of fresh leaves and newly blossomed flowers. If you didn't say the Birchas Eilanos, say it. So, to conclude, I'll share with you a special segula that has nothing to do with anything I just said, but it's a segula that you'll see in the bottom of the last page. And I've seen it quoted by three great Rebbes, the Oy of Yisrael of Apt, the Medrash Pinchas of Koritz, and the Rebbe Menachem Mendel of Rimniv. If there is rain in Iyar, make sure to open your mouth up and drink it in. The tzaddikim say that it is a segula to be healed of illness. Is it logical? Does it follow the laws of nature? No. Because we Jews are Hashem's Am Segula. We're above nature if we connect with Him. And so next week we'll address more about the principles of Jewish medicine, how we can use the pulse, and how we can learn more about Hashem's ways. After questions, I will demonstrate how we can clear up what's already here. So, any questions? No. Very good question. I've written an article about my blog. I speak about a number of different things in my blog address you'll see in the front page. And I've been asked this before. There are many, many healing schools of thought as to constitutional types. I believe, and they work. There is the blood type diet. There's a Korean diet that I learned about when I was in medical school. There's many of them. I forget the names of them, but it's something I in the past have addressed. And though they probably do work a good part of the time, I don't recommend them. And I'll tell you why. Because there's no such thing as one shoe fits all. Every person is a world in and of himself and her or herself. Every person has different life experiences. Every person has been through very specific challenges. And that's why, for instance, if you look at what one of the things Western medicine does, one of the things that functional medicine does, my wife is starting to be a functional medicine coach. And one of the problems I have with functional medicine is that they rely on double-blind placebo studies, right? Well, no two people are alike. No two people who are the same age, the same build are alike. Their experiences are different. So you can't really treat somebody individually according to that, although you can get a good idea. And if the person wants to do it themselves, that's fine. But I don't do it. Yes.
Announcement. Anybody that didn't get a chance to sign up, so please go to the front and sign up after the class, after the questions. Thank you.
Okay. One at a time. One of the things that I work a lot with some of my patients on Shalom Bayis, and there's two rules of Shalom Bayis. One is that when two people are interacting, you deal with one subject at a time. You don't say this and that and that because then you get out of control. The other thing is that you don't interrupt. So if I interrupted you, forgive me. Okay, so we'll take the first question, we'll get the second one.
Wait,
let me get the first one first. Are you kidding? I want to be insulted. Because let me explain the first question first. I'm going to. The question was, I said before that when we talk about Hashem's bounty, there can be poisons also. Why does Hashem give us poisonous things? And if we look in the Rabbeinu B'chaya, we see the reason why, and we can differentiate also. Because there are things in Hashem's bounty that for one person can kill, and for another person can give life. There is a drug which is called digitalis, which comes from foxglove. It's used to regulate the heart. The herb itself works quite effectively. But if somebody has a healthy, strong heart, it might kill them. They have to take too much of it. Where doesn't it work? Again, with pharmaceutical drugs, where they're all derived from petroleum products, from gasoline. And gasoline is a poison. And you can't heal yourself. That's why there's no pharmaceutical drug that doesn't have a side effect. Eli Lilly, one of the famous original pharmaceutical house heads, was famous for saying there's no pharmaceutical drug that doesn't have a side effect. So that's the difference. Even in Chinese medicine, there are substances that are poisonous. If you were, I would ingest them. But for somebody who has seizures like my late wife has, or somebody who has infertility problems, they're able to heal the person. You look in the Rambam, Hanhagas Abrios, one of his medical books, he has all kinds of very odd healings, including animal products. The Rambam. I've treated Rosh Yeshivas, I've treated Hasidic Rebbes, and sometimes it's necessary to use non-kosher or poisonous substances. But I'm not poskening it, and you have to ask your rabbi and go according to what your rabbi says. So that was the first question. Second question. Very good question. It's very clear. The gentleman is asking, does that mean that a person, if they're sick, they should stop taking medicine and go cold turkey on whatever they're taking? No. No. Let me just parenthetically add that the Chachamim tell us that it is extremely beneficial to be insulted, not to look for insults, but to have insults come to one. Because if one is embarrassed or insulted, it serves as a kapor for all their averas. So you can insult me how you want. But the question was, what about these substances? What are you supposed to do? And again, as we speak about the principles of Jewish medicine, we'll address that. But Bekitzer, I will tell you that never, ever, ever should someone stop taking my patients. I have patients all the time who come to me with Western meds. And I never let them stop their medicines without first identifying, using the pulse diagnosis, using the tongue diagnosis, taking the history, implementing therapies, healing therapies that I would have, such as using Chinese medicines or using nutraceuticals or other methods, and then adding them and slowly weaning them off. Because if one is taking medicines and they're not taking something to fill in the emptiness, they're going to crash. One must never, ever stop taking medicine until there is an appropriate and complete replacement. Questions? Yes. The question was that in the therapies that I integrate in my practice, you won't find homeopathy. And I will tell you why I have, though I have, and my wife will tell you, I have a number of homeopathic books at home. But I myself do not utilize homeopathy for a couple of reasons. Number one, when I started studying medicine, I had two mentors that were each homeopaths, that each became... They were masters. They each became very sick and died. And they chose homeopathy as their chosen therapy. I have found, even if someone does take a homeopathic constitutional remedy, that more often than not, our lives are very complex. And were our lives to be simple, the constitutional remedies, or even in the case of simple problems, the simple remedies might be effective. But when you have a complicated mixture of the soup that we have in our lives, I don't find that they're nearly as effective as the other therapies that I use. That's why, though I don't in any way discredit the validity of homeopathy, my wife, whenever somebody gets the flu, she immediately starts giving them acoxococcus, whatever it's called, acoxococcus, which is a homeopathic remedy which works magically for the flu. But that's not what I know, and that's not what I practice. So I don't discourage it. I just don't do it. Questions? Yes. Question is, segulas are a gift that was given only for Jew because for Jews, because as we find, the Torah uses the term segula. It's interesting. There is a Gemara in Avodah Zorah where one of the Chachamim asked that every person, when they get sick, there's a specific angel that comes down and says, this person is going to be sick for this amount of time, and he's going to have this particular remedy at this with this particular doctor, and al pi derech hateva, the person will not get well. According to the laws of nature, the person won't get well until that time comes. If so, how is it that these shrines work? The Gemara talks about shrines where people go, Lourdes and other places, where there's, I think, one in Mexico where people go, and they have these remarkable healings. How can they work? And the Gemara tells us that specifically Hashem wants to be mezaka, to bring merit to those who are innocent and bring guilt to those who are guilty. And so those who are already idol worshipers, they have successful miraculous healings, but it's not for us Jews. Yes, Yochai.
I have
now you're getting to really radical stuff.
So I wanted to hear your feelings on that. And also, I think you also said that you can't, I can't remember now, that if you take a blood test, that only comes with what the status of the body is at that moment. By the time you get the results, you just lay it on the basis.
I'm not going to answer from the Bill Vavi because I don't know Rav Schwartz and I haven't read his books on healing, but I will answer from what Rav Arish says in Hashem Rifecho. Indeed, and by the way, if you read Hashem Rifecho, the Garden of Healing, you, besides reading the appendix, which is about my medicine, you must not skip around. You have to read from the beginning because if you skip around, you'll see things that won't make any sense at all. And one of the things he talks about is that. And he says that we Jews are not just spiritually different, but we are physically different, and we respond differently. And as such, particularly when there are blood tests that are done, and the results do not come back immediately, and the results are not favorable, Rav Arish says, don't pay any attention to them. That's Jewish medicine. That's not something that I'm necessarily involved in. But I will tell you, I do read blood tests. I do read medical tests. And I encourage my patients to get medical tests. And I use it as a tool. Reading blood tests, I don't use as a final diagnosis. But we use it as a tool. We use it as a tendency. And again, as we're going to speak about next week, the principles of medicine, one is not allowed to give up. A doctor who says that I have to, I give up. I mean, you have 2 weeks to live, is not only an apikoiris, is not only a heretic, but he's a liar. Because Yeshua is Hashem Keharafai, and the deliverance of Hashem comes with a wink of an eye. And if we connect to Hashem, and we connect to the Chachamim, and we learn the message Hashem gives us, we can do things that no one else can do. And for that matter, the righteous of the world also have tremendous potential for healing as well. The key is to keep all of the principles, all the seven Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, and all the principles of connecting to Hashem. I can't really remark because I don't know enough about it. But I will tell you from my experience that when I've read blood tests of patients who were given dire prognoses, that we were able to change things. Okay, so let's conclude by learning about lymph. Our lymph, I think, let's see, what page is it on? There's a picture for you to look at. So, lymphatic drainage of the face. Let me take off my cartilage. And rather than demonstrate on anybody else, I'll demonstrate on myself. Actually, no. I'll take a volunteer. The new doctor in town, Roy, come here. Roy Kimmy just passed the state board exam, and he's a new acupuncturist. Take care. Sit in the middle. Yes, please. I want you to be able to be seen by everyone. So, he's getting ready. Keep your cup on. Keep your hand. Yeah, fine, it's fine. No, you don't need the hand. Fine. That's fine. Okay. So, sit down. Mm-hmm. So, when we talk about this backup, it is critically important, and we're going to get to learn about this the next week, the week after, to implement specific healing principles that will enable us to feel good and breathe in to be able to smell the flowers. By the way, if you have an altered sense of smell or taste, that's a sign of zinc deficiency, just so you know, if your smell is not good. If you supplement zinc, generally you'll be able to resolve that. But we all tend to accumulate lymph because our lives are very, very, we don't move. We sit around all day and we don't exercise. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu has put this wonderful system in our bodies of removing garbage through our digestion. It gets stuck in our chest, it gets stuck in our neck, it gets stuck in our face, our head, and our backs. And I want to encourage you to try to do this every day for 5 to 10 minutes. You will feel, it may feel uncomfortable, but once you have removed very gently some of the stagnation, you will notice that you'll have chills. There'll be this wonderful sensation of tingling because there's this blockage. How does it get blocked? So the lymph, which is the body's waste material that's not able to be released, it's viscous to some degree. It's like the consistency of oil. And what happens if something is allowed to just sit and not change? It turns hard, it calcifies, and we start to have lumps in our chests, lumps in our neck, lumps in our jaw, lumps in our face. And so the key is to brush it away. And so the first thing I will do, wherever you can see Roy, take your glasses off, is the center of the gravity goes down. So we want to be able to stop the lowest point in the face from having this accumulation. So I'll put my hands over here, and I'll massage gently upward towards the ears. And I'll do it a few times. What does that feel like, Roy? You feel a flow of energy, okay. So now, we go over here to the ears. And it's a little tender there, isn't it?
Yeah.
So the first thing I notice about it is that the right ear is higher than the left ear, which means the muscles are spasm, which means if a muscle is spasm, then more stuff's going to be blocked. So I'm going to do some more, create more stagnation here. Can you see? And then, after we bring it up here, then we go down. There is a very, very tight and tense muscle that comes down our neck. And you can see it in the drawing. That's the sternocleidomastoid. It has two branches. So we massage downward, sternocleidomastoid. Down we go. So first we bring all this junk that's fallen into our chin up, up, up. Then we relax and massage the area of our ears, and then we go down. And we go down the back of the neck, and the side of the neck, and the front of the neck. And we just do a little, just like gently pressing, not pressing hard, like this, just gently rubbing down. And the more we do it, the easier it'll be. And then we go down our arms, so we have this flow of blockage. And we go down the chest and the middle. And then after we've done that, we can do it again a few more times. But we have other parts where the lymph accumulates. Look at your picture. The picture shows that all these lymph nodes are all over the place. They're all over the place. So what do we look for? We look for the mekavim, mekavim, chalulim, chalulim. We look at the hollows and the empty places, and we want to open them up. So the next one below, above the mouth is the nose. So now we do the same thing with the nose. We go across the sinuses, across here, and then up here, and again we go down. And after we do that, then we do above the eyes, the eyebrows. And the eyes themselves, your whole hand on top of the eyes if you look to yourself. Again, you're going to this area which is going to lead to the Metzar. Metzar Karasika. I can't call to you because I'm blocked with phlegm. So we clear out the lymph and the phlegm. And then we do the back of our heads. And this time we go down the backside. We do that for 5-10 minutes. It's like a marvelous sense of feeling alive. A sense of feeling alive that we didn't feel before. So that's the Sur Meira, and that's the Aseh Tov. We want to be able to stop ourselves from having the blockage and the accumulation, and we want to release what's there. We're going to talk about a number of other therapies that we can do on ourselves to help ourselves get well, in addition to the 10 principles. And so I encourage you, if you have any questions, to think about them between now and next week. And I really am honored to have been able to have the opportunity to share my journey with you. And I wish you all that the month of Iyar should bring marvelous healing for you as we prepare for Matan Torah.